The day that Matthew had the cardiac arrest, obviously he was expected to come home that day. He had been, had an operation that day to have a stent put into his kidneys because he had kidney stones. And then we had the phone call. It was probably about 4:15 in the morning to say that he'd collapsed. So obviously we've rushed over there straight away. And I remember we were walking down the corridor, and at the end you've got like the PHDU room, which is where he was. And obviously we were walking down, and that's obviously we saw the crash team working on him at that point. And I remember my partner walking into the room, but I think I sort of like collapsed into a sort of heap on the floor because obviously it's not a very nice thing to see. And then my partner Tony came out, and he's like, "No, you need to go and see him." And whilst the crash team were working on him, obviously, you know what I mean. I was talking to Matthew saying, you know, you've got to wake up, we're going home, it's your birthday in a couple of days. And we had planned to go to Disneyland as well. So I was telling him all about that. But even when I was telling him this, I was like looking at him. As soon as I saw him, I knew he'd gone.
Yeah, I mean, what was that like to see that crash team too?
That is probably one of the most traumatic things as a parent you could ever see. Absolutely horrible. But yeah, so I can't even remember where I was now. Yeah, so they had worked on Matthew, like I said, but by the time the crash team had actually got to Matthew, which wasn't the crash team's fault, Matthew's heart was already in asystole, which means there's no electrical activity. So by the time they had got to Matthew, there would have been no chance anyway. And it wasn't until obviously Matthew, when we had the Dr. Trevelyan come along and said, you know, they've been working for quite a long time now, it's, you know, we're gonna have to stop. And me and my partner with Tony, we were sat sort of side by side, Matthew with him, and the nurse and Dr. Trevelyan were having a chat at the end of the bed, and that's when I overheard the conversation. And the doctor had asked, "How long were you playing about with that probe for?" And she was like, "Oh, I was playing with the probe for about 10 minutes, and then we changed all the equipment and stuff." So obviously I heard that straight away, and I was just like, right, I can't do anything now, because obviously, you know, my son had just passed, so I wanted to spend time with him. So it's just like, right, well, I'll take that away and obviously look into that a bit more. And then when we got the, they do like a risk analysis report, and it basically said in black and white there, had she actually physically checked Matthew, then that could have actually, you know, the fact that she didn't check Matthew could have prevented his recovery. So
What was it like when you heard the doctor saying, you know, this is, we can't do any more?
I should, again, I remember as soon as she said it, I just collapsed. And I remember, sorry, I remember Tony, and he was just get he got a bit like angry, sort of like, what do you mean you can't just stop. But obviously, at that point, it was like I said, I knew as soon as I saw Matthew, it was too late. He'd already gone, so sorry. And obviously, it just, I don't know, it was all like, well, I remember it all happening as if, I don't know, like you're not part of it. Do you know what I mean? Like you're watching something horrible happen on TV, or like it's not happening to you. Everything seemed really surreal, sort of thing. Yeah, it was just awful, awful. Sorry.
You were at the inquest, and you heard the recommendations that the coroner made, or he said what went wrong.
Yeah, basically, obviously, the coroner, he had to do like a narrative verdict. And where Matthew had had the operation with the stent in his kidney, basically the stent had moved and perforated the kidney wall. The infection was only, it was only like 50% of the kidney. So, you know, you had the doctors like, well, that's not a strong enough infection, but that was the only thing that could have caused his cardiac arrest. But obviously, like with the nurse, when she was obviously being questioned, she, on her first statement, which was done again a couple of days after Matthew had passed away, it worked out that there was about a 20-minute delay from the moment it was recognised that the alarms were going off to the minute that the crash team arrived. And that was basically because the nurse, she looked at Matthew, but his chest was rising and falling, but he was ventilated. So unless there was something wrong with that ventilator or his airway, that would carry on working. Do you see what I mean? So that is why they say with ventilated children or anyone ventilated, you're supposed to physically, manually check them. And obviously she just looked and just assumed that Matthew was okay and decided to change the probe, which she had already changed an hour beforehand, change all the equipment. And like I said, they worked out there would have been about a 20-minute delay. She then done a second statement, which would have been, we had the inquest January last year. She'd done it the October before. And there was a big difference. And obviously our solicitor picked up on that. And I think she even said something along the lines of, well, personally, I'd go by my second statement because the first one I was in a rush because I was going on maternity leave. So, again, that was a bit of a sort of kick in the teeth for us because all the people that had been, like all the anaesthetists and the consultants that had worked on Matthew in the inquest, every single one of them looked at us and you could see it in their eyes, like a heartfelt apology, you know, but she couldn't even look at us and say sorry. Which to me, like, do you know what I mean? It was just that was a massive kick in the teeth for us, I do believe. But I think the coroner, so obviously he did say he can't say how long there was a minute delay for, but he did say that obviously there was a great delay and that could have prevented Matthew's recovery. So,
how do you feel about this mistake being made?
I think, like I said, we just feel like we've been cheated because Matthew had worked, like, the 5 years of his life, do you know what I mean, he'd gone through so much and he was quite obviously poorly and, you know, quite weak when he was young. But he was at his best. He was, you know, at this point, you know, when he was, well, it was just before he was five, he was at his strongest point. You know, he was doing really, really well. So it just felt like we had been cheated and all I just, you know, all she had to do was check him. That's all, like, all she, looking at a child to see how they are when they're asleep, that's not good enough, you know. The fact that they have made some changes within the ward itself, that's absolutely great. But obviously, you know, for other people, that it won't happen to them again, or it won't happen to anyone else, hopefully. But obviously for us, it's, you know, it's just too late. And there is a lot of anger and resentment, I suppose. But again, it's not like with Matthew's consultant, Dr. Connett, he was absolutely brilliant. All the other nurses, you know, they've known Matthew from day one. Like the HDU, that was like a second home to us. We spent the first 18 months of Matthew's life there. Mm. And this nurse, she knew Matthew. She'd known him from day one. So we did feel like, you know, it's comfortable. He was coming home that day. We were okay to leave him. And like I said, unfortunately for an experienced nurse, she just made a very, very big mistake.
What effect has this had on your family?
Massive, absolutely massive. It completely, completely destroyed us. I mean, after Matthew passed away, we spent the first year up in our bedroom. We couldn't come downstairs because that's where we always were, and you could just feel it. You know, as soon as people would come into the house, they could just, it felt awful. You know, and there was obviously other family members who had had a really, really amazing bond with Matthew, and again, it's completely destroyed people. You know, it's been very, very hard. Yeah, definitely.
So, did you hope that all of this, some good will come out of this?
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, the fact that they've made changes on the unit now, you know, so any child that's had operation, they're ECG monitored straight away, which, you know, that's great. And I'm glad that they've put these sort of changes in place because, you know, this shouldn't happen to anyone else at all.